Chapter 16. When I got out of the truck, the girls jumped on me and showered me with kisses.
That was fucking awesome,
Kat cheered, and her cheeks were pink from the fight.
The biggest, grossest dino explosion I've ever seen. You were so brave,
Haywan said as she pressed up against me.
It was amazing, Jason. Our brave husband,
Becca purred.
Impressive Omati shot,
Adhara agreed. There were a few flecks of blood on her emerald dress, but she still looked stunning as she smiled at me. Kwan stepped out of the truck, and Haywan raced over to hug him. She mumbled something in Korean, and her father laughed as he stroked her hair. Somehow, he barely had a drop of blood on him, despite bringing down multiple dinos throughout the fight. His tuxedo was still crease-free, and he remained the most badass guy I had ever met.
So,
Becca said as she put a hand on her hip.
Can we get back into our outfits now?
Now, Kwan announced, and he turned to look at his men. It is time to party. Get the tables out.
Tables? I asked, as the girls rushed back to the temple to get dressed, and Adhara waited beside me. Kwan strode over to help as his men started to lift small tables and boxes from the storage spaces of the trucks. Haywan's brothers all rushed over to me after they spoke to their father, and Sun-hee jumped on me as he scuffed up my hair.
Hey, bro, he laughed. Cool dino shooting back there.
Thanks for keeping the old man alive, Tae grinned. He's kind of important to us.
Nice work, Min-jun agreed. It is good to have you on the team.
Good to be here, I chuckled.
I watched as Kwan's men started to set up tables in the pristine green grounds of the temple, and they pulled bottles and huge bowls out from the boxes. Ji stood around and instructed the men where to lay everything out. She pulled the lids off from containers and started to empty food into the serving bowls, and as bottle after bottle came out of the trucks, the temple grounds very quickly became a fully stocked bar.
Is that all alcohol? I asked.
Yep, Sun-hee laughed. Appa made sure to get the best, most expensive stuff around for the wedding.
It had been a long time since I'd had a few decent drinks, and it seemed like the perfect day to let off some steam with my new brides. Kwan strode back over to me, and he chuckled a bit as he noticed me staring at the booze.
My son-in-law looks ready for a drink, he said. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, I nodded. But I didn't think Buddhists were allowed to have alcohol.
Well, I'm not that Buddhist, Kwan shrugged. This is why we are setting up outside, to be respectful to the temple. It's important.
Ah, I smirked. That makes sense.
The girls reappeared from the temple and walked over carefully in their high heels. They'd managed to wipe all the blood and dirt from their arms and faces, and they looked radiant against their dresses. Haywan had changed into her hanbok and looked like a Korean princess in the long, flowy skirt.
We should clean up, Min-jun said as he looked over at the nearby dino corpse. Let's get to work with these guns, which we are very grateful to have.
He gave a quick nod to Adhara before he ushered his little brothers toward the dead dinos. The alien blushed as she smiled to herself, and she did an adorable little wiggle as she smoothed down her dress. She was still splattered with blood, but didn't seem to care much, and as I looked down at my own blood-stained suit, I was glad someone else had gotten a bit dirty during the fight.
Holy shit,
Kat grinned as the girls joined us.
That's a lot of booze.
Ready for some shots, soldier? I asked.
Oh, yeah,
Kat said.
Those flying bastards worked up a thirst. It is time for drinking,
Adhara asked.
This is when we do the alcohol? Looks that way,
Becca sighed.
I guess we'll be on mocktails, Haywon. I'm going to eat so much food,
my Korean wife said as she twirled around in her hanbok.
Good. You need to grow that grandchild very big and strong like his father,
Kwan said in a stern voice. But then he broke into a wide grin, rubbed his hands together, and nudged me in the side.
Come on, let's go and get a drink.
He gestured for the onlooking villagers to join, and there was a hurried rush over to the tables. The various liquors, beers, and mixers had been laid out alongside red plastic cups. The cheap containers looked out of place next to the luxury booze, and Kwan caught me looking.
I am not bringing glass out here, he explained.
I have seen these people drunk. I would have no glasses left at the end of the night.
I like it, I assured him. It makes it feel like a college party or something. I studied the labels on the bottles while I tried to decide where to start, but they were all in Korean.
Here,
Kwan said, as he unscrewed one of the darker bottles.
A Korean-made whiskey.
The Underground King poured a generous helping into four cups and handed three of them to me, Kat, and Adhara. Then he examined the table and grabbed a bright pink bottle next.
This is for the pregnant ladies, he said. No alcohol, of course, but it still has a fiery kick to it.
Kwan poured the pink juice into two cups and then handed them to Becca and Haywan. Once we all had our beverages, Kwan held his plastic cup high and grinned around the group.
To my new family, he said in a gravelly tone. My new son and his two beautiful brides.
I raised my cup high and then took a sip of the whiskey. It was incredibly smooth and smoky, and it stung the roof of my mouth slightly as it went down. I looked over to Adhara as she gingerly took a drink, and she scowled down at the cup with her tongue stuck out. What do you think? I asked. Are you a whiskey girl?
I sure as hell am,
Kat said as she took another sip.
The stuff is gorgeous.
Why does that not surprise me? I asked as the pretty soldier sniffed her cup.
This taste is spicy,
Adhara announced.
Spicy water.
Do you like it? I asked.
Maybe. I don't know.
She nodded and then took a more confident sip as she screwed up her face.
There's other kinds, too,
Becca laughed.
You could have vodka or gin. They're a bit less intense.
The locals started to drink and chat around us, and it wasn't long until everyone had a cup in their hands and the laughter started. I looked over toward the road to see Tay demonstrating how to evaporate the dinos to a group of locals. They all had plastic cups held tightly and cheered as the Quetzalcoatlus slowly turned into muddy goop. I grinned as I watched the brothers take a sip of something before they continued their work, and they let some of the locals have a carefully supervised go at the sharp guns. Kwan filled up my cup again the second I took another drink, and G came over to join us.
My beautiful wife, Kwan smiled. Are you happy to see our daughter, a married woman?
So happy,
G gushed as she cradled Haywan's face in her hands.
My little girl looks so beautiful today. All of you do.
The Korean woman studied the drinks on the table before she poured herself what looked like vodka and topped it up with orange juice. A few locals hurried over to us and started talking to Haywan in Korean as they stroked her hanbok. She laughed happily, and a bigger crowd started to form around us. I watched my girls as they laughed and sipped their drinks, and I couldn't wait to get back to the base for our wedding night. Seeing them so happy made it worth being covered in dino blood, and Becca grinned at me as she noticed me staring.
Hey, husband,
she said as she pressed herself against me and snaked an arm around my neck.
What are you thinking about?
How lucky I am, I replied as I gazed into her brown eyes. And what I'm going to do to you all when we get into bed? The blonde giggled.
Are you excited to have us all in bed for the first time?
Oh, don't, I groaned. You're going to make me lose my mind.
I'm just saying,
Becca whispered.
Me, Haywan, Kat, and Adhara will all be yours in the same bed, completely at your disposal, begging for your cum.
Oh, stop, I moaned as I leaned in for a kiss, and my new wife slipped her tongue into my mouth.
What is this?
I heard Adhara ask, and I looked over to see Kat pouring something into the alien's cup.
Dunno.
Kat shrugged as she squinted at the bottle.
I think it's vodka, but also I have no idea. It's booze.
I could translate the labels,
Haywan giggled.
But it's also fun to just watch you guess.
I laughed as I held onto Becca's waist and watched Adhara sniff her newly poured drink. The alien shrugged and took a huge swig from the cup as Kat clapped.
Oh, Kwan said as he watched Adhara. It seems we have an experienced drinker in our midst.
No,
Adhara said.
I have never had an alcohol before. I like it, though. More than bacon?
Becca grinned.
No,
Adhara said solemnly.
But definitely more than the little green trees.
There is food, too,
G pointed out with a smile.
Maybe we should line our stomachs a little as we drink.
She looked pointedly at Adhara as she spoke, and Kat snickered as the alien ignored all advice and filled her cup again.
Come on, then.
Becca laughed as she grabbed my hand and dragged me back to the table.
If I can't drink, you all need to have my share.
I would be having a gin.
Haewon nodded.
So that's this one here.
The Korean beauty reached out for a tall, clear bottle and handed it to me.
I suppose I have to, I sighed dramatically. If it's what my wives want, then I am legally required to oblige.
I poured the gin into my cup, and then into Kat and Adhara's. I started to feel the effects of the booze after a few rounds, and the locals had started to play what looked like a variation of beer pong by then. I barely noticed the stench of evaporated dino as the various types of alcohol filled up my cup on rotation. But after a while, all the dino bodies had been turned into goop, and Haewon's brothers finally came over to join us. They'd clearly already been enjoying their fair share of the drinks for a while now, and Sun He danced with a wonky grin on his face as he headed over to us.
Hey, nice work, I chuckled. It's like the whole thing never happened.
Almost,
Tae laughed as he gestured to my stained suit and then clapped me on the shoulder.
Blood all over the streets and the houses are trashed, but it looks good. Still a good day, yes?
It is, I agreed.
My sons, Quan said, come, have yourselves some drinks and forget the worries of the world. Tonight, we celebrate.
Minjun grabbed some cups and started to serve some drinks for himself and his siblings. The brothers poured more booze into my cup, too, and the sun warmed our faces as we continued to drink. One of the villagers had brought a banjo with them and quietly started to play. I saw Ji sway as she sipped her drink, and then Quan suddenly grabbed her by the hand and spun her around.
Oh my god!
Kat gasped.
Quan's dancing!
I had not expected the Underground King to be so smooth, but he twirled his wife around and elegantly stepped in time to the music. Ji looked beautiful as she danced, and a crowd started to gather around them and clap.
That looks fun,
Adhara said. And Quan clearly heard her because he bowed to his wife before he reached a hand out to the alien.
May I?
He asked, and Adhara raised an eyebrow.
May you what?
She asked. Becca snorted with laughter and then gently shoved Adhara forward. Quan took her lilac hand and twirled her around like a pro. I couldn't stop laughing as I watched her eyes widen as she tried to keep up with his steps.
Let's join in,
Haewon said. And she grabbed my hand and pulled me close. I'm not much of a dancer, I admitted. But we soon fell into a rhythm as we swayed and clung on to each other. My beautiful bride spun around, and Becca and Kat started to join in beside us. The soldier kept stumbling, and Becca giggled as she helped her drunk friend move. The next few hours were some of the happiest I'd had in a long time. I twirled each of my four girls around as they danced in their stunning dresses, and I thanked the locals and armed men who came over to congratulate me. I'd never had so many burly men with assault rifles wish me a happy life before, but it only made me chuckle more drunkenly at the direction my week had gone. Quan kept topping up our cups, and G convinced us to have a plate full of some food. I wasn't sure if it was because of the alcohol, but the meal was some of the best-tasting food I'd ever eaten. And I might have said this more than a dozen times between bites. There were spicy noodles, tender strips of beef, and an abundance of perfectly seasoned rice. And there was even a selection of cakes with sweet cream and chocolate centers. Adhara had started to sway on the spot, and she giggled as Quan poured her another drink. So, I grinned as I pulled her close by the waist. How is my beautiful alien finding alcohol?
She is finding it tasty,
Adhara smiled, and she sloppily planted a kiss on my lips.
It makes me want to do mating a lot.
I bursted out laughing as her words caused half the nearby Koreans to choke on their drinks. Then I pulled her a little closer and brought my lips to her ear. Good, I whispered, because it is having exactly the same effect on me. Adhara hummed in the cutest way, and we carried on drinking until the sun started to fall from the sky, and the green echoed with slurred conversations and laughter. All of Quan's men were still on guard duty and kept a watchful eye on the sky and village wall while the rest of us got wasted.
Poor guys, I said as I looked over to one of the men. They don't get to have drinks?
Someone has to be on guard, Minjun shrugged, and also drive the trucks. They can have a drink back at the base.
You aren't on guard duty, Sun He said to his brother. So why aren't you doing shots?
He can't handle it,
Tay whispered as he stumbled slightly. Minjun raised an eyebrow, and I thought he was about to tell his siblings that he would not be participating in shots. Instead, he grabbed a bottle of dark liquor from the table and downed half the bottle with two long, gurgling slurps.
Woo!
Kat cheered as she clapped and grabbed the bottle.
Bet I could do that.
Maybe not,
Becca said hurriedly as she took the liquor and patted Kat's head. I smiled as I looked across the crowd of dancers to see Sun He was with the pretty girl he'd spoken to on the ammo run. He twirled her around, and they held hands as they swayed. Everyone was smiling as the drinks flowed and music played, and I took a second to appreciate how far I'd come from that day in the Cambridge Library. I couldn't believe I was partying in South Korea next to a Buddhist temple. I had never put much thought into where I would get married, but I certainly never pictured it would be so breathtaking or have so much blood dotted around. The armed guards kept watch as we danced and drank, but no other dinosaurs showed up. The village was calm, and the treetops only rustled with the gentle breeze. Eventually, the sky slowly turned from blue to a dusty orange as the sun set and then faded into a dusky purple. I was pretty drunk, and my feet started to get sore from the dress shoes and all the dancing.
It will be home time soon,
G said as she started to gather up empty cups.
We should leave before it is fully dark.
Good land,
Kat mumbled.
I mean, plan.
The soldier snorted and wiggled her hips as she downed the rest of her drink.
I think the corporal is wasted,
Becca grinned.
Soldier, put down the vodka.
No.
Kat giggled as she poured herself another.
I am a delightful drunk.
Adhara had gone off into her own little world and hummed as she stared up at the sky. But I kept my arm around her so she wouldn't tip over. Heiwan was deep in a conversation with her brothers that seemed to make Sun He snicker nonstop, and a wave of tiredness hit me all at once.
Okay, Kwan announced suddenly. We must make our journey back to the base. Everyone to a truck.
There was a murmur of disappointment among the crowd, but everyone obeyed the order as they started to pack up.
This day was perfect,
Heiwan sighed as she nuzzled into me.
I love you, Jason.
I love you too, I said as I kissed the top of her head. Now, let's get back to that big bed so I can make this marriage official. Heiwan giggled and laced her fingers into mine as we started to walk toward one of the trucks.
Thanks,
Kat said to one of Kwan's men as he stood stoically beside the truck.
We don't have any taxi money, though. You drunk idiot,
Becca snorted.
Get into the truck. Yes, sir.
Kat saluted and then stumbled as she tried to climb up. I laughed until I tried to get in and slipped on the shiny metal step, and I flopped over the edge of the truck, and Kat howled with laughter beside me.
I am not in the drunk,
Adhara announced, and then dove into the back of the vehicle with the grace of a rhino. I hauled myself over to join her and offered a hand out for Becca and Heiwan.
Thanks, husband,
Heiwan grinned as they climbed in beside me. My Korean lover had our three ducks proudly wrapped in her arms, and a wave of love swept through me as I watched her tuck them into the seat next to her. Then the engine started as two of Kwan's men jumped into the front seats, and I smiled as I looked over at the temple. The colors looked dimmer under the darkening sky, but the little golden Buddha still shone. The local villagers had started to head back to their homes, and the green looked almost as if nothing had happened to it. There were still bloodstains all over the road and houses, but at least the bodies had all gone. Heiwan and Becca sat on either side of me. Kat and Adhara sat opposite us. My two new wives rested their heads on my shoulders, and then both of them stroked my chest as the truck started to move.
This thing better go quickly, I muttered, because I need to fuck all of you immediately.
Why not here?
Kat asked.
There's room. My family is here,
Heiwan scolded.
You can wait a few minutes.
I don't know about that, I said, as Becca's hand slid a little lower on my torso.
The girls giggled, and I had to remind myself to keep quiet, as the danger of nearby dinos was still at large.
Gotta be quiet, I muttered, in case more dinosaurs come to the party.
I could feel myself stumble over the words and smirked at how lightheaded I felt. I could have fallen asleep right there, but the touch of the girl's hands kept me alert. We drove out of the village walls and made our way back to the base. The drive was quiet, and although there was a distant howl as we neared the jungle, we didn't encounter any dinos. I was grateful for that, since I knew full well I would not currently be able to shoot accurately. As the trucks drove into the jungle, I heard the men hiss something in Korean, and as I looked up over the front of their heads, my body went cold at the sight of the broken trees up ahead.
Shit,
I hissed as the girls turned to look.
Something big is here.
Fuck,
Cat mumbled.
I'm too drunk to fight.
I gripped my sharp gun and tried to take deep breaths to sober up. Then, when we reached the clearing where Adhara's ship was parked, my jaw dropped. It wasn't a dino that broke all these trees. In the clearing were two more spacecraft that had crushed a huge area of the trees and plants around them. They looked identical to Adhara's ship, and both had the subtle glow of force fields around them. My mind took a moment to register what I was looking at, and I couldn't decide if I was way drunker than I first thought because I could swear I saw two figures standing beside Adhara's ship. There were two lilac-skinned men with silver flight suits, and they were ripped enough to rival even Min Jun's burly build. They also had sharp guns over their shoulders, and they seemed a good foot taller than I was, even from this distance.
Adhara? I said as we got closer.
Look. The beautiful alien's hand flew over her mouth as she looked at the men, and the truck pulled to a halt when we were still a few feet away. Quan's men looked warily back at us, as if they were waiting for my say on the matter, and I was about to speak when Adhara leapt out of the truck. I heard the rest of the trucks approach behind us and watched as Adhara ran to the alien men, and I quickly tried to get up to go and join her.
Let's go, I said,
and they only swayed slightly as we climbed out of the truck. The two men in front of the truck frowned at us, and they held their rifles tightly as they watched. Then Hae-won said something in Korean to them, and they raised their eyebrows as she spoke.
What the fuck?
Becca breathed once we were safe on the ground again. I was relieved she saw them too, since she hadn't drank anything tonight, and this confirmed I wasn't imagining it. Two more aliens were with us, and Adhara clearly seemed to know them. Their silver hair glowed under the moonlight, and they had similar gills and freckles visible even in the darkness. Their expressions were rock-hard and unreadable, much like Adhara's had been when she first arrived, and they glared at me as we slowly approached. Adhara seemed happy to see them, though, and she drunkenly flung herself at both enormous men in a drunken hug. They patted her back in a slightly possessive way, and then the group of aliens all started to talk in their low clicks and hums.
Do you think they're the other scouts?
Hae-won asked, and I nodded. I guess so, I said, and I heard shouts from behind us as more trucks came to a halt. I turned to see Quan and Hae-won's brothers leap out into the jungle floor before they sprinted over with their rifles.
Whoa, slow down, I said, as I held my hands up. Adhara knows them. Tell your men not to shoot.
Quan raised an eyebrow, but he quickly turned and shouted something at his men, who had started to pile out into the clearing.
Do you think they sent the message on?
Hae-won asked quietly as we walked toward the aliens.
Maybe this is the end of the war.
Oh, that would be some wedding gift, I muttered.
Adhara spun around as we reached them, and the tears in her eyes made me sober up real fast.
Jason,
she said,
these are my friends. They are the scouts I came here with.
Nice to meet you, I said warily as I nodded at the men. They remained silent as they glared at me, and I got the feeling they hadn't come around to humans like Adhara had.
So, I said slowly, what's going on? Did they send the message to stop the fleet?
They did,
Adhara said, but her voice trembled.
The base managed to send it to the fleet commander.
Holy shit, I gasped. You're serious? The message was passed on? It's over? Becca squealed and clapped her hands, and Kat cheered drunkenly as she danced on the spot. Hae-won's mouth fell open, and she gasped as her blue eyes widened. My grin faded as I looked back at Adhara's face, though. I'd figured her tears were from the emotional reunion, but she didn't smile as her fingers wiggled at her side.
What's wrong? I asked.
Jason!
Edhara whimpered.
The fleet did not believe them. They think we are being held prisoner by the Alacarics.
My stomach dropped as her words hung in the air, and the girls fell silent beside me.
What?
Heiwan asked in a small voice.
They did not believe the scouts? No,
Edhara confirmed.
My people are coming. They are on their way to finish the war once and for all.
The jungle suddenly felt a million degrees colder, and I had no words as I looked at the beautiful alien. It hadn't worked. The alien war was not over. In fact, it was about to become a whole lot worse. Not only would the world still be crawling with dinosaurs, but there was about to be a whole army of technologically advanced beings joining in to kill us off.
What can we do?
Becca asked.
Nothing,
Edhara whispered.
They will not believe us if we send the message again. They have made up their minds.
I knew Edhara's people would travel fast, and they would bring enough weapons to easily wipe out entire cities. They weren't going to stop until all humans were dead. And I looked at my four beautiful women's faces as they processed the information. A prickly heat started to rise inside me. I had just gotten married. I had two kids on the way. There was no way in hell I'd fought for this long just to be brought down before I met my children. There had to be a way to save humanity, no matter the odds, and I needed to figure it out fast. We better tell Quan's men to get ready, I said, as I looked up at the starry sky. We're about to go to war. End of Book 7.